the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Number four of Sports Talk begins. We have a Tennessee practice report with Eric Kane. And right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, what is up for grabs this evening?
John, we've got a $25 gift card to Big Kahuna Wings. Big Kahuna Wings is a family-style restaurant. It is located in Knoxville. It specializes in dry rub wings. The menu includes organic, hormone-free chicken, burgers, fries, and more. Two locations, one at Kingston Pike, which is just west of Willow Creek Golf Course, and the one at that's just near Westtown Mall, 7804 Montview Road. You can check them out online at bkwings.com. They are also the sponsor of my blogs. All right, $25 gift card to Big Kahuna Wings if you can answer this. I had several ones to choose from as far as a trivia question. Here's what we're going to go with. All right, the Los Angeles Dodgers had made 13 consecutive playoff appearances without winning a World Series, but they snapped it. They snapped it, obviously, last night. That was the third longest streak of making the playoffs without winning a World Series. Name the two teams that had the longest streak of making the playoffs without winning a World Series. Now, it could be consecutive playoff appearances, but it might be over a 20-year period, a 50-year period, an 80-year period, but it's consecutive playoff appearances without winning a World Series. So name the two that had the longest, they had the longest streaks ever for most playoff appearances in Major League Baseball without winning a World Series.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Daryl. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, what's going on?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Driving in the rain. You know how that goes.
Yeah, be careful.
I'm going to say Atlanta Braves and Houston Astros.
You were half right. You started strong.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Daryl. All right, sure do appreciate it. Thank you, Daryl. Let's go next to Brian. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. I'm going to go with my Chicago Cubs and the Atlanta Braves.
There you go. Those are the two. That's exactly right. The Braves, 16 in a row, which is the record from 1996 to 2020. That's current. And the Cubs at 14, but it was over an extended period of time. How about this? From 1910 to 2015, 14 playoff appearances in a row before they won a World Series. So, Brian, congratulations to you. You've won a $25 gift card to Big Kahuna Wings. Hey, congratulations to you. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you.
Sounds good. Thanks.
We know you will love it. But, Brian, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much, and we appreciate your being a part of the Sports Fix at 6.
And, John, just a couple of notes out there. Was looking at we were talking about Trevor Lawrence a little bit earlier. I saw where there was a projection, I think it came out of ESPN, where they were talking about the top 11 drafted players, what would be the best home for them. And they mentioned, this is a little bit different than what I mentioned earlier about Trevor Lawrence, but they've got Trevor Lawrence going to the Jets. That would be the best fit. I don't know about that. But anyway, I think that's probably a projection of where he's going to get drafted. And they like Justin Fields going to the New York Giants. So that's an indication you would think that they don't like Daniel Jones, but I actually think they do. All right, I'm going to touch on SEC players. Jaylen Waddle, what would be a great fit for him? The New England Patriots. Alex Leatherwood, Alabama offensive lineman, the Chargers. Patrick Surtain, Alabama cornerback, Atlanta. And then Kyle Trask, Florida quarterback, Washington. Those are the best homes for those SEC players. Just a couple of others to mention to you. Panay Sewell, Oregon offensive lineman, Cincinnati. Greg Russo, defensive end from Miami to Dallas. And then Trey Lance, he's a quarterback at North Dakota State. They got him going to the Jags is the best fit for him. So I thought some of those projections were kind of interesting about where they think the best fit would be for a variety of players. They mentioned the first 11, but I just picked out those because I thought they were of more importance and more noteworthy. So anyway, that was a look at some of the draft projections.
Yeah, I do wonder exactly what it will be like. Obviously, everyone has the opportunity to return to school if they want to from this season. And I can't imagine Trevor Lawrence wanting to be first in line to try and repair that mess in New York that is the JETS-MESS. Because you know they're going to clean house. It's just it's not a matter of if, but when. Now, it could be perfect. I mean, Chad Pennington talks about his experience in New York. And you know that Eli Manning loved the fact that he was only a Giant. Not a Giant, but just only a Giant. And so it can be an incredibly rewarding city and area with which to operate. But, my goodness, it just looks so bad that I think that the folks in Clemson might just be saying, gosh, we're going to get a fourth year potentially? What do you think? I mean, if you were him or if you were his advisor, what would you tell Trevor Lawrence?
I might pull on Eli Manning. I might say, look, get what you can for me. I don't want to play for you. Now, I don't like that approach necessarily, but – I remember, and we talked about this, John Elway did it, mm-hmm. Eli Manning's done it, Bo Jackson did it, as John McClain was pointing out. But if I were in that situation, that's probably the way I would approach it and see if I could land somewhere else. Now, if you cannot orchestrate that, I still don't think you stay at Clemson because you may end up in the same situation the next year.
Could very well.
How do you know?
Right.
And by the way, I don't think John McClain necessarily was saying this, but I don't think because the Jets had the first pick, that's why Peyton Manning stayed at Tennessee. I think there were other factors involved. Maybe that was a bigger factor than I had thought. But anyway, yeah, but if I'm Lawrence, I'd try to orchestrate a move out of there, see what I can do to try to get a better situation. But I don't go back to Clemson because you may be right back in the same boat and you've lost a whole lot of money.
Yeah, and of course, Peyton staying for his senior year allowed Jim Druckenmiller to be the first quarterback selected in that particular draft.
Peyton said Druckenmiller owed him a few drinks.
That he did. I'm like you. It would definitely be a roll of the dice. And then I also think that, okay, let's say, for instance, Trevor Lawrence draws a line in the sand, says, I have no interest in being a Jet. If you're Justin Fields and they say and they knock on your door, we would like for you to be our quarterback of the future. At that point, I think you would have the opportunity to be the top pick in the draft. And so I think it's a much different consideration for the next name on the list as opposed to Trevor Lawrence. Granted, still, I mean, incredible upside, fantastic talent, but I also think that you have a chance to go in a position that could set you and your family up for generations when it comes to the ability to sign as the top pick in the draft. So I think it would be a much different consideration for Fields or whichever quarterback could wind up being the second highest rated if indeed Lawrence finishes as the top target at quarterback for this upcoming draft class, if indeed he was to say thanks but no thanks.
There are some quarterbacks that look at it and say it's an honor to be the number one overall pick of the draft.
Yes.
And then others might look at it and say that's not the best situation for me. So there are a couple of ways to look at that. And I can't read Trevor Lawrence's mind. Was he setting this up to say I want to go somewhere else besides the Jets? Maybe. I don't know if there was an ulterior motive to his comment, but – the Jets seem like they are so far away from having success. Of course, a few years ago, didn't Cleveland go winless?
Yes.
And they looked like they were a long way away, and now at least they're pretty darn competitive. You know, they've got a winning record. Were they 5-2? So it can be turned around. It's just whether or not you have the patience or the confidence in the administration, the staff, front office, whatever, to become competitive.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. When we return, it'll be time for a practice report with Eric Kane. That's next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
We roll on with Sports Talk. It's time now to jump to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for a Tennessee football practice report. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage as we say hello to Eric Kane. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Jeremy Pruitt met with the media already a couple of times here today after the first part of the week being shut off from the media because of the bye week. There was no Monday noon press conference, no players on Tuesday, but we got them both here earlier today. Jeremy Pruitt said that the football team returned back to practice this week on Monday, and we'll have Friday and Saturday off heading into the weekend, and we'll come back and practice Sunday and Monday before Tuesday. We'll be off for Election Day. Jeremy Pruitt spent some time discussing a little bit of some injuries, said that cornerback Bryce Thompson is playing with a torn pectoral, but it's healing on its own, so he's not 100% healthy. Offensive lineman Wanya Morris, who was out on the field working out prior to the game against Alabama when we were getting up there in the press box, he did not play. Jeremy Pruitt said he probably could have played, but he was still a couple of days away from being healthy and being feeling like they could have him in a good spot to get out there. But really, it's been all kind of like a fall camp again here during this bye week, and that's normal. You often go back and you practice on the fundamentals. You try to sharpen up your tools, fix the mistakes. Jeremy Pruitt said that earlier in practice on Monday, it was Brian Maurer and Harrison Bailey who were getting a lot of reps at quarterback as the team was trying to focus on some players who did not play a whole lot against Alabama. So that's kind of the state of the bye week right now. Jeremy Pruitt again met with the media at noon. That video and audio should be up on our website at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. And Pruitt will have a virtual appearance on Fall Calls later this evening, 8 o'clock, right here on The Sports Animal.
Eric, in terms of what Pruitt said, he really went into detail about the defensive backs and how their communication has been lacking, right?
Yeah, he said that it's very uncharacteristic of that group because they've all played a lot of football. I mean, pretty much they're all upperclassmen. Trayvon Flowers, this is really his first year in a starting role, but he has played a lot of football, bits and pieces of the past two seasons outside of being injured. Jalen McCullough was there the back half of last year as your starting safety. We know about Alonte Taylor. We know about Bryce Thompson. Know about Kenneth George. Know about Sean Schamberger. So all these guys that play football. Jeremy Pruitt did say, again, he said a couple of times, not trying to make excuses, but that unit was probably hit the hardest in terms of quarantine. So there's been guys shuffled in and out of the lineup dating back to fall camp, and then some injuries have played a role in there. So maybe that has a little bit to do with the communication and the lack thereof. This unit really has seen a lot of blown coverages and busted coverages. And that's something that, again, that this has not really been used to with this unit. So he thinks getting those guys back together, practicing all together, I think this bye week will help them out a lot. And he does believe that he hopes that can improve because, again, this is a veteran unit, a unit that's played a whole lot better. He says that he believes this unit can play a whole lot better, but really he said that's a microcosm for the entire team. He believes this team can play a whole lot better, but they're kind of getting in their own way.
Kervarius Crouch, what did he say about the handling of players?
Said you're going to go home. You just got to be smart. Don't be selfish. Wear your mask. If we remember back over the summer, I believe it was the 4th of July weekend, Jimmy, and you know, players were back in June working out and kind of getting adjusted to this new COVID era and how to deal with it in terms of working out and practicing. And Jeremy Pruitt allowed them to go home over the weekend to see their families. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But, again, this is a pandemic, and so it's a little bit different this year. And when the team returned, that's when they started having all their positive tests. And that was really the start of it. Jeremy Pruitt has said numerous times that he's learned that they've learned a lot of lessons that they, have put into practice and learned from that. And so Kervarius Crouch, when asking if players are going to go home, you know, how are you dealing with that? And he just simply said, don't be selfish. You've got to wear your mask. If you're around people, you've got to wear your mask. If you come back, you're going to be around our team, and that's going to affect all of us. So he believes that the leadership on the football team has kind of taken that that direction and really been motivating the entire team to wear a mask and be protected essentially when you come back, because again, this is typically when you get a little bit more free time. The practices are usually intense during the bye week, but you get a couple of days off, you get a long weekend, and some of these guys will have that long weekend to go home and see their families.
Tight end Jacob Warren is from Farragut. What did he say about his progression?
Yeah, Jacob Warren said that his senior year at Farragut, he weighed 205 pounds, and that's what he weighed when he got here at Tennessee, about 205, 210. Said he's now bulked up to about 245 pounds, and that, you know, when he was recruited initially, thought he might be more of a pass-catching type guy, and of course, he spent a little time on defense as well, but Jim Chaney comes in, the offense is a little bit different, and he has to put a hand in there and learn how to block, and he says he's continued to learn how to block, that if he keeps his hand placement correct, his shoulder square and his feet moving, that he's going to be okay. He said he believes that he started to make a name for himself a little bit in this offense because he's gotten a lot of run here lately. He is now the starting tight end. He started the last couple of games at that position alongside Princeton Fant, who's still playing a lot of tight end as well. But Jacob Warren believes he's still a work in progress, but the more he plays, the more he is getting comfortable, and the more he is trying to step up and be a leader. And he said that he has ease with talking with his fellow, you know, linemen, quarterbacks, running backs, whoever it is on the offensive line. He feels like he has ease in talking with them now because you kind of have to. When you're out there on the field, you got to step up your game, both on the field and in terms of being a leader. And Jacob Warren is continuing to progress in that. He says he's a work in progress, but he's excited about the progress that he has made so far.
Any other news and notes?
That'll do it again here for today. But Jeremy Pruitt tonight, 8 o'clock on the Sports Animal, will make a virtual appearance on Vol Calls. Today's Tennessee Football Practice Report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
Eric, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a great night, a fantastic show in the morning, and we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And that is a Tennessee Football Practice Report. We'll get a break when we return. More from Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
John, let's hear a little bit more from Jeremy Pruitt. He was on a Zoom call with the media earlier today. Here are his comments.
Jeremy, you mentioned in your opening statement this is a good time to evaluate what you're doing well, what you're not doing well. You've touched on some of those things that you don't feel like you're doing well, but I was wondering in that evaluation, what stood out about, you know, what things do you think you are doing well, this team?
Yeah, I feel like offensively, you know, just in the probably three run concepts, you know, running inside zone and some RPOs that we've ran off of. But that's a couple of things we've done well. We call them chop routes. We hit Jalen Hyde on a couple of them Saturday. We've had earlier in the year, we hit Brandon Johnson on a few of them. Feel like that standpoint has been much improved defensively. For the most part, I've been pretty pleased with the inside linebackers. Not as much this past week. I felt like we were out of place a little bit on some runs, but I felt like we played better at that point there. From a communication standpoint, with the front, I'm talking about the linebackers to the defensive front, you know, has for losing our signal caller and Daniel Batuli, I thought Henry has done a pretty good job there. You know, lots of times the other team, they'll look at the defense and make checks. And we want to, when they check, we want to check. So I felt like Henry's done a nice job doing that. I feel like the play of Matthew Butler and Latrell Bumpus and this past week, Aubrey Solomon, was much improved. You know, so in the kicking game, Solansky's done a nice job snapping. I think Paxton Brooks has done a really good job placing his punts. I thought this past week was really good. You know, when you look at our kickoff return, we're not as good on kickoff returns where we've had double teams at the point of attack. We're not where we need to be there. I thought our backline guys have done a really nice job, much better than we've done the last 2 years operating back there. Kickoff coverage has been pretty good. We need better play out of our missiles. On the punt team, to me, there's been a couple of times that really on our zone side, where we call it being hat short. One happened Saturday, guy comes off the edge. Bumpus has really got that guy in the count, but because somebody kind of threw their guy inside, he flashed in front of Bumpus, and we got close to getting a punt block. So, and on our punt return, we hadn't had a lot of opportunities. We've not put much pressure on the opposing punter this year. And I think in the previous years we've blocked a punt each year. So, we've went back and tried to study and do it with every particular group, what the running backs feel like we're doing good there. What we need to work on this week. We've done that with every individual group. So we got something that we can focus on this week.
Jeremy, I don't know if you saw the play where DK Metcalf ran down a interceptor against Seattle versus Arizona. If you did see that, is there any chance you might have shown that to your team?
I did not show it to the team. I did see it, though. Somewhere it was I don't know what I saw it on. It was he was on the goal line. I'm assuming that we ran the guy on the interception right down there. Yeah, no, it's great effort, right? So and that's what, to me, when you look at every team play, to me, are you playing that way every snap? And these are the habits that you create in practice. So every day we keep up with the max speeds of every one of our players. It's the first thing that we go over with each individual group. Elijah Simmons, we know that his max speed at 340 pounds is 15.8 miles per hour. That's as fast as he can run. So if he's running 11 miles an hour at practice, that ain't good enough, So he's got – and then how long does he sustain that max speed? On the defensive backfield, we've got several guys that run in the 20s and 21s. Where are they at practice or in games, right? So it's a good indication of how they play. I think as a coach, for us, we can look at the yardages and see kind of, are we doing too much, especially at wide receiver, and early in camp, we had to be careful there because we had so many guys out. You wanted a guy like Josh Palmer, you had to shut him down every day at 6,000 yards just because we had other guys out. You didn't want him taking extra reps and be at 7 or 8, or he'd kind of end up, eventually, having soft tissue injuries. So, I think that's a good indication of how hard you play.
Jeremy, through 5 games on the whole, how would you assess your pass rush so far?
Well, I felt like the first game, we've done a really nice job against South Carolina, affected the quarterback. The next game was a little bit different. In terms of changing quarterbacks and how they played and what they did. we must improve there, So you can be a team that is a pressure team where you're bringing 5, 6, or 7 guys and you put the pressure on the back end of the secondary because if you're going to bring those folks, most of the time the quarterback knows it and he can get the ball out of his hand. You look like Saturday, there was lots of times Alabama was protecting with 7 or 8-man protection, right? So most of those times we were trying to guard them in the back end and didn't necessarily do a good job with that all the time. And then there's times that they protected with 5 and maybe we're rushing 4. So we've got to improve there. We got to improve in the interior D-line. We've got to improve at outside backer. We've got to improve as blitzers from inside backers. Secondary guys. All the way around, we've got to improve our pass defense affecting the quarterback, whether it's disguises, pass rush, coverage, whatever it is, we must improve.
Comments from Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt. Let's now hear from Santiago Vescovi, Tennessee sophomore guard. Boy, what a whirlwind it's been for him so far during his Tennessee career. Here comments from Vescovi.
Santi, what were you able to do while you were home, back home, I guess, to improve your game? How tough was that to find, I guess, the competition you needed to play against, or the workout stuff you needed to do like that?
I mean, in Uruguay, it was way easier because COVID was like a smaller thing. We had really few cases. We had like probably by the time I was there, we had like probably around like 60 total active cases in the whole country. So that made us be available to like play 5-on-5, practice, do whatever we wanted in groups. And like it was safer than everywhere else in the world when the COVID was like a big thing. So, yeah, I was basically just working out by myself with a strength and conditioning coach that I knew, and also like playing 5-on-5 with guys that I knew of. Also, we just set a time and go to a random court and play 5-on-5. And I think that really helped us to grow, and also knowing that the environment was safe.
Were you anxious to get back, or were you pretty patient to just stay over there and wait it out if you had to?
I mean, both of them. I was really anxious to get back, but at the same time, I felt that I was doing a good job in Uruguay because I knew I was working out like really hard. And also in terms of the COVID, it was much safer staying in Uruguay because, as I already mentioned, we had like really few cases than coming here. But at the same time, I wanted to be with my teammates.
Primero, habla despacio en español, por favor. Secondly, Santi, obviously you lost a little bit of weight this summer. How do you think kind of having trimmed down and reformed conditioning is going to help your game this season now?
I already experienced like a really big change in my whole game and body, and I've been feeling it during practice. I feel myself way more quickly. I feel more lean also. Like I got leaner from during the summer that I was working out back at home. And I feel that's really going to help me in terms of, first of all, in my defensive standing point, because I'll be able to guard quicker guards. And also in terms of the offense, I think it'll help me a lot because I'll be, like, I'm feeling better, quicker. I could, like, go by guys sometimes. And I think that's really, like, a big difference in my game.
Then what was the process like for you of waiting to get home when kind of everything shut down in March, and then the process of it taking a little bit longer for you to get back as well? I mean, what was the waiting like on both ends there?
I mean, I feel it was crazy. I remember it was spring break and I went with John. We went somewhere else to just stay in a house and chill out because of the COVID. And we knew it was going to be like a great thing, like, not great, but it was like a massive thing. So we're just like going to stay home. And then we realized I had to go back home the next day because they were shutting down the borders. So we had to drive all the way back to campus. And we had to do a lot of paperwork and stuff. Like during the morning, we go by like at 6 a.m. and probably like 11 a.m. my flight was leaving. So it was kind of crazy.
All right, Santiago, good to see you. Two questions. Number one, what prompted the hair color change coming in this year? And then also last season, you came in and really hit the ground running and really helped this team. What more do you feel like you can do that you feel like you need to improve on to help this team even more this season?
So first, talking about the hair color, I was just in Uruguay. And I mean, it was a long time just staying in quarantine, not doing much. And my first option was because I was supposed to come a little earlier than when I came. And that same day, I was going to dye my hair white. And then I just stayed home for a little longer. So everyone knew. My idea was to come here and show up just having white hair. But then they already knew because I stayed in Uruguay. And, I mean, it didn't have, like, a big thing behind it. It was just I wanted to do something else. And then coming to this year, I think my game has improved a lot. I really feel way better, as I already said, because I feel better physical-wise. And also, I'm starting to learn more the pace of the game. I'm trying to, as Coach Barnes asked us, I'm trying to play more faster. Every time we get the ball, just trying to run the court and I feel I'm doing a really good job doing that, and still think I have a lot of room to improve, and that's what I'm working on every day.
Thank you.
Cynthia, with the players that are newcomers and then the players that return, how competitive are the practices now?
Oh, they are really competitive, and I think that's what it's going to make us be a really good team, because having the opportunity to compete against us every day, I think, is the best thing we can have, because we have a lot of talented players. The newcomers are really talented. People that are staying too, we all talented. And I think that's what's going to make us grow every day.
And what was the biggest adjustment you made when you started playing at Tennessee? Was it the speed of the game, the athleticism of the opponents? What was the biggest adjustment?
I think it was both. The athleticism of the people that I was playing against, I think I'm kind of getting used to every time more. And also the speed of the game. As I already said, I'm trying to play in a faster pace. And also I think every time I'm starting to know more what Coach Barnes wants from us. And I think that's a really good thing, because like we all in the same page.
Hey, Santiago. How much more comfortable do you feel right now running the offense than you did maybe in January and early February when you'd only been here for about a month?
I feel way more comfortable right now. I think, as I already mentioned, I think we're starting to know every time more what the offense and what Coach Barnes wants from us. And I think that's a really good point for me and all the team, because we're all on the same page. And I mean, I feel really good about the offense we're running right now, and also just running more every time and getting the pace even faster. I think it's going to really help us.
Santiago, on the defensive side of the ball, what skills have you been focusing on to help you improve on that side of the ball?
I'll be working on just one-on-one defense, trying to stay in front of the ball. And I think I'm every time doing a better job. I had a talk with one of the coaches yesterday and today morning about it, because he sent me a video of practice, and I told him that I was focusing my game, trying to be a way better defensive player than I was last semester. And he told me that he saw a really good improvement, and I think we just got to keep working on it.
That is Tennessee sophomore guard Santiago Viscovi.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back to close out today's edition of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
John, I want to bring a comment from John Chavis. He was the guest speaker at the Knoxville Quarterback Club, and he was the defensive coordinator at LSU for several years. So he was asked, why is high school football so good in the state of Louisiana?
Well, a little bit of it has to do with demographics, you know, a little bit of it, but that's what they do, and it's not just demographic, but that's what they do. I mean, those young men down here love football, and I was told this a long time ago, and I don't know how true it is, but when Coach Bryant came to the state of Alabama, he changed the whole state in terms of how they looked at high school football, and you go now. And it's much better now than when he left Texas A&M and went to Alabama, because of the emphasis that was put on high school football. And I think that emphasis has been there at LSU. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, on Friday night, you know, it's truly an entire state that, if you wanted to do something, and if you were a criminal, you know, wait till Friday night and you can go do anything you want to, because everybody else is at football game. That's the way it's been, and it's been that, I think, just the importance, you know, you put that on it, and, you know, it's just like high school football here in the state of Tennessee, you know, and this was, you know, ways you can try. High school football in the state of Tennessee has gotten so much better in the last 15 or 20 years. It's unbelievable. You know, and is it because of the Titans in Nashville? I think that has a little bit to do with it. I think it does. You know, because, you know, football in the state of Tennessee has improved. And let me tell you, there were times, you know, when we were here that six recruits in the state of Tennessee, that's a good crop. That's a good crop. Hey, you go to the Nashville, greater Nashville area right now, and you're going to find 8 or 10, and sometimes even more than that. And plus, they're all over the state, you know, but the number of prospects in this state has grown tremendously. And I do think that the Titans had a little bit to do with it, but it put a bigger focus when the Titans moved, in my opinion, when the Titans moved to Nashville, brought that team in there, then all of a sudden football became something really, really, really big. Not that it wasn't, I'm not saying that, but even high school football got to be bigger and bigger, and I think that had a lot to do with it.
That is John Chavis, former Tennessee defensive coordinator, and as we mentioned, he was defensive coordinator at LSU. John, how much impact do you think the Titans have had on the improvement of high school football in the state of Tennessee?
I think it certainly has had its impact, and I also think that you go back to Tennessee in the 90s and even into the 2000s to a degree. I just think that also had an impact. I thought that they kind of went hand in hand. Tennessee was in the national conversation a lot from mid-90s to mid and just beyond 2000s before all the changes took place. And for the Titans to make Nashville their home, I thought was also probably the biggest boost, but I thought Tennessee being in that national conversation also had a hand in it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think a lot of that. And then, of course, we've seen the population growth, much of it around the mid-state, much of it around Nashville. We have seen the sons of coaches that are good players. We are now seeing sons of players that are good players as well. So I think that has helped in that regard too. So all of that has contributed, and gosh, I can't say enough about the high school coaching. It is, I just think it's outstanding in the state, and certainly in East Tennessee. I'm more familiar with the coaches here, and I know how good they are, but I think we've got really good coaching throughout the state, which has also been beneficial.
Yeah, and just take a look at, and I mean, first of all, you've got coaches that have had the chance to grow and become part of a coaching tree. I mean, you can point to Derek Hunt at Maryville, and then you also have, of course, the winningest coach ever at Alcoa. And you also have former NFL players that are now head coaches, and you have more former NFL players that are on staffs. So I don't think there's any question. It has been a huge step up in terms of exactly who are leading these programs. And you've got weight rooms. You've got all kinds of things that that really have taken this to a next level. Just think, if you were to compare what so many high schools are fortunate to have now, I mean, they would look, Jimmy, like they were, I mean, colleges and universities from a yeah. few years ago. It really is impressive the degree to which there's so much that is in place for these young men to take advantage of.
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing that you like about it, at least from our perspective, is we get to sit back and watch it.
Yes.
So that's been a lot of fun to see these the programs around here and the state championships that have been brought to the East Tennessee.
Very much so, and here's hoping that we get to jump into the playoffs and see another run, and you expect it from these parts because they've done such a great job representing the Knoxville area and East Tennessee from this side of the bracket. What's yeah. a shame, Jesse Smithy, and to see this hit the news today, but DeKalb County, which won its region, has had to go into quarantine. So they are not going, I mean, that's a 2-week ban, and so they are not going to be able to go and benefit from having won their region. And so there's no doubt likely, Jimmy, that we're going to see more teams perhaps fall in that very unfortunate category.
That is tough. You hate to see that. And by the way, John, tomorrow for folks, we're going to be at Matlock Tires at their Hardin Valley location tomorrow.
That's right. Very excited about that. It'll be Rivalry Thursday as we will get everyone ready for Alcoa at Dobbins-Bennett. Jimmy Himes, have a great night.
You too, John.
This is Sports Talk.